What a touch of God that's here tonight. I mean, thankful for what you're feeling right now. My, my. I believe we're feeling the ripple effects of God remembering us. Something supernatural that's in this house tonight. You can be seated for just a moment. Why don't we give it up to the praise team for leading us into the presence of God tonight? What an incredible job. Not just talented, but anointed. That's what we need. And I want to say what an honor. I didn't get an opportunity to do this last night, but I think it's okay to take time and give honor where honor is due. I want to give honor to this great pastoral family. That's all right. Give honor to them, the McCoy family, and I just love their spirit. Thankful for them obeying the call of God. It's not easy to obey the call of God, so I give them honor. And I told my wife that I felt the Lord give me very specific instructions. That a lot of times we give honor to the man and the woman of God, which we should. It's in order. But tonight I also want to give honor to the children. Woo, I feel that. Woo. That buy into the vision of their parents. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in that right now. I believe God, and I'm not trying to get the cart in front of the horse, but I feel like the Lord has spoken to me today for the pastor's kids. And we may say something tonight about it, we may say something tomorrow, but I know I need to address it before I leave. So I want to give you honor. Praise God. Presbyter, thank you so much for being here, all the guests that are here. If you are here and you have never received the Holy Ghost, I believe God wants to fill somebody with the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. Whoa, I feel a witness to that right now. Whoa, come on, it'll change your life. You don't have to struggle with the addiction. When the Holy Ghost comes in, it gives you power. Woo! The Holy Ghost can help you tonight if you're struggling. It's the greatest thing on earth. And if you never received the Holy Ghost, we're going to give you an opportunity before the end of the service. You've never been baptized in the name of Jesus. We've got water. My God. Tonight's your night for a change. Hallelujah. I'm telling a man in the Holy Ghost right now, God wants to change your world tonight. Not next week, man, I feel this. Not next year, but tonight. God has brought you here on purpose. God has brought you for a divine encounter with His Spirit. Woo! My God, have mercy. Anything can happen in this service tonight. You can be seated. If you would, media team, if you'll put that picture up that I sent, you'll just put it on the screen. And I want to talk to us for just a few moments here tonight, if you just allow me to set a foundation. T.F. Tenney, he was a mighty man of God in Louisiana. He was the superintendent for the district of Louisiana for many years. And he passed a few years ago. And this man would do a study on a revival that took place in 1906. That revival was titled the Azusa Street Revival. And as he began to study this revival, he would make this statement. The common denominator to the Azusa Street Revival was one thing, and it was hunger. When I read that statement, I said, no, it can't be that easy. I mean, these people were seeing miracles. Interracial revival. It's got to be more deeper than that. And he began to diagnose the revival, and he said, the only thing that I can pick up on that was the catalyst for a mighty revival was one thing, hunger. But many of us, this Azusa Street Revival, we may not have ever heard of. So I want to take a moment to explain exactly what the Azusa Street Revival was. The Azusa Street Revival was a historic Pentecostal revival meeting that took place in Los Angeles, California, and is the origin of the Pentecostal movement. It was led by a man by the name of William Seymour, an African-American preacher. It would begin on April 14th, 1906, and would continue roughly to 1915. Hold up, y'all. We're going to go slow, but we're going somewhere. 1906 to 1915. I know some of you missed it. 1906 to 1915. It wasn't a weekend revival. It wasn't 3 days that we set aside and we fast and pray. No, this was a 9-year revival. I'm not interested in just weekend revivals. I'm interested in a revival that lasts from year to year, from 2025 to 2027, from 2027 to 2029. I'm interested in a revival that breaks out further than a weekend. Woo! Be seated. The revival was characterized by ecstatic spiritual experiences accompanied by miracles. dramatic worship services, speaking in tongues, interracial mingling. The participants were criticized by secular media and Christian theologians for behavior considered to be outrageous and unorthodox, especially at the time. But today, the revival is considered by historians to be the primary catalyst for the spread of Pentecostalism in the 20th century. Thank you. They desire the move of God. Anybody desire a move of God in this house tonight? They desired to stay in the presence of God. But I began to do my own research on this great revival. And it is stated as I begin to do my research that they would spend hours, somebody shout hours, in the presence of God. Can you spend hours in the presence of God, or do you get bored? If the preacher preaches too long, do you start looking at your watch and saying all the restaurants are going to be closed? When's the last time you were watching a movie and you said, man, this movie's too long? We don't do it because it's entertaining to our flesh. But when it comes to spiritual things, we put a time clock on it. What would happen in this building tonight if we threw the, man, I feel the help of the Holy Ghost right now. What would happen in this building tonight if we say, I don't care if I'm here till midnight. If that's what it takes to experience a move of God, I'll stay here all night. I'll park at the altar all night if it means God touching us in a special way. I am eager for an Azusa Street revival. I'm telling you, that's why I spent hours at the church. That's why yesterday I showed up early and I spent hours at the church trying to find the mind of God, because I want to experience this. The Bible says that the latter shall be greater than the former. So that means that we're supposed to have revivals now that put Azusa Street to shame. We're supposed to see greater in 2025 than they saw in 1906. Somebody shout greater. Somebody shout greater.
Greater.
We're supposed to experience greater. But if hunger was the only thing that would be the catalyst for an Azusa Street revival, why aren't we experiencing it more? Hebrews 13 and 8 tells us this: Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same God that they worshiped in 1906 is the same God that's in this building tonight. He hasn't changed. Well, if he hasn't changed, if he still desires to pour out his spirit, in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon. This is a promise. So if this is a promise, could it be that the reason why we're not seeing it the way we should is because we lack hunger? Could it be that we lack a desire? Could it be that we're okay with average church? I'm sorry, I didn't fly here just to have average church. You didn't put on your nice dress or your nice suit just to hear a pretty message. If that's what you came for, you got the wrong preacher. But I came tonight for a demonstration of the Spirit of God. I came here tonight to see God pour out His Spirit upon all black, white, Hispanic, Asian, all ethnicities. I've come to see a demonstration. He hasn't changed, but we have. God will not force a move of God on experienced church tonight. He's a perfect gentleman, but we must pursue after the move of God. Ask yourself, am I hungry for a move of God tonight? Or did I come just to hang out with people? It is also stated in this great revival that they conducted 3 services a day, 7 days a week. And we can't get people to show up for 1 extra service a week. That's too inconvenient. Oh my goodness, we got 2 services on Sunday. And you want to have a revival service Friday night? Here's my question. If you don't come to church, what else are you going to do? I'll tell you what you're going to do. You're going to be entertaining your flesh. I had a pastor. He said, Brother Jones, I would really love for you to come do an extended revival here. I would love to do a 7-day revival. Yeah, I felt some of you, no, not here. I'd love to do a 7-day revival, but he made this statement. He said, but I know if I did a 7-day revival, my people wouldn't show up. Because it's too inconvenient. You don't think Azusa Street was inconvenient? But there was a hunger. But there was a desire. Is there anybody in this building that you desire for the glory to fall? That you desire to see the Shekinah glory of the presence of God be made manifest? Woo! Be seated. How many of you would say in this building that you desire a Pentecost? Raise your hand. Raise it high. Come on, don't be ashamed. What is Pentecost? Pentecost means the 50th day. It's a day of the outpouring of the Spirit of God, but the key word to Pentecost is the word cost. If we're going to have an outpouring, it's going to cost me something. All right, I feel like digging right now. We just want to show up to church and expect God to do everything else and it not cost us a thing. It's not going to happen and we're going to have average church. But if we show up and say whatever it's got to cost me, if it costs me an hour in the altar, if it costs me 30 minutes in pre-service prayer, whatever it costs, I'm willing to pay the price because I'm hungry. Because I'm hungry. I'm hungry for a move of God. Pentecost. An outpouring will cost you. But let's go to Acts chapter 2. They're waiting on the promise of the Father. They're waiting on this comforter, which God wants to pour out His Spirit on some of you that may not have ever experienced that. He wants to give you an experience tonight. God, Jesus, told His disciples that I'm going away, but the Comforter's going to come in my stead. Woo! The Comforter's going to show up, and it's going to infuse you with power after you receive the Holy Ghost. Woo! Huh. And as they're waiting in an upper room, well, where's this comforter at? Day 1? Day 3? Day five, waiting on this promise. And then people start leaving. Because it was too inconvenient for me to wait. I got stuff to do. I got stuff better to do than wait on this promise that nobody's seen. And what they didn't realize is the people that left early, if they would have just waited to day 10. Let me ask you a question. What number would you fit in? 500 people were in the upper room, but only 120 would experience it. Would you be a part of the 380, or would you be a part of the 120 that says it doesn't matter how long I have to wait in order to experience a move like I've never experienced before? Because a true move of God, listen to me. I tell you, I feel the hunger in this church. I feel it tonight. There's some of you are saying, I want this so bad. Because a true move of God will separate the spiritual and the carnal ones. You can tell the ones that really want it, those that don't. Because immediately, I'm trying to be careful right now. I ain't trying to hurt nobody's feelings, but listen to the preacher. You can tell the ones that really want it, those that don't. Because the conversation after service. If their first conversation is something carnal, out of the abundance of the heart, a lot of times you can tell if somebody's carnal based off what they desire to talk about after service. My God, did you feel what I felt tonight? Did you feel the Holy Ghost so... It was tangible. Did you feel it? I felt like God healed me tonight. I felt like God began to work in my marriage tonight. It begins to ooze out because the desire that's on the inside will begin to be manifest through what you say. I didn't come to see what you was wearing tonight. I didn't come to see who was going to be here. But I come to see what God wants to do tonight. I want to ask you, church, have we programmed God out of his own service? Have we become so programmed with we're going to do this many songs and we only got to do it for this amount of time, because if we go too far, you know, it may get carried away and we may be here longer than we need to. One thing that was stated in the Azusa Street Revival is they had no program. But they show up and they just start praying. And when they started praying, somebody feels something. I feel to do this. I feel to do that. And they threw the clock out the window. I'm telling this church, if you will get what I'm preaching, you will enter into a harvest. The gifts of the Spirit are already flowing through this church. The gifts of the hunger is there. But you got to say, God, I want you more than I want my nice hairdo, more than I want my nice suit. I want a move of God. I'm trying to hurry. The Azusa Street Revival happened in 1906. Anybody know what was going on in 1906? I want you to put that picture back on the screen. What was going on in 1906? I'll tell you what was going on. Segregation! Segregation. And can I tell you, God works before humanity works. Because before there was a Martin Luther King Jr., there was a William... Before there was a man that was willing to march, there was a man willing to bend his knee to have revival in the African American community where whites and blacks can come together. He wasn't brilliant. He wasn't a doctor. But there was one thing that this man had. He had a hunger. I'm thankful for everybody that's here. But my desire tonight is to get one person to get a hold of this. I mean, I'm not reaching for everybody. If one individual will get a hold of this, brother, if you'll get a hold of this, oh God, help me not to do this out of time. If you'll get a hold of this, brother, I'm telling you, God's about to do stuff in your ministry. If you'll get this and you say, I don't desire to be a polished preacher. It's good to preach good messages. But what I really want is a demonstration of the power of God. God has given this church, listen to me. I believe the Lord, be seated. I'm going to take my time. Is this okay tonight? I'm not going to rush this. I believe the Lord has given me a word for this church. I believe God has given this church influence in this district. Not to make yourself known, but God is trying to use what's about to happen in this church to infiltrate on a district level. I'm telling you what I felt in prayer, is there's an influence that this church is getting in this district because there's a revival for this district. Hold on. But every revival needs a spark. Brother, every revival needs a spark. Why can't it happen in Springfield, Missouri? Why? Why can't it? Be seated. But what was so special about the day of Pentecost? It was a prayer meeting, yes, but it was unity. Somebody shout unity. What would happen if we could get unity in this building tonight? I'm going to tell you the power of unity is seen in Genesis 11 and verse 6 in the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11 verse 6 says this, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. That word restrained means inaccessible or impossible. So let's read that verse again. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be impossible for these people. Can I tell you that the devil is not your biggest problem in this area? The spirits of this city that hates your guts because you preach the truth are not your biggest problem. The biggest problem is unity. And if you can get unified, nothing can stop a church. But I know what some of you are saying. You'll never get 100%. Why not? Why not? You'll never get everybody else. Why not? It's impossible. But I believe that the church, if we're not careful, we'll lose its hunger because we're in nicer buildings than we've ever been. We've got nicer cars than we've ever had. We've got nicer suits than we've ever had. And we've lost that raw hunger. And I'm going to confess to you that when I first started evangelizing, I had such a hunger that I feel like I have lost. Because now I got a book schedule and I got things in 2026 and preaching camps and I don't need to be as desperate as I used to be. But Leonard Ravenhill, one of my favorite authors, would ask a stirring question, and I wanted to get in the heart of this church. Have carnal longings in our hearts brought spiritual decay? Did you hear what I just said? Have carnal longings in our hearts brought spiritual decay? What we feed ourselves. Could that be the reason why we're not hungry? Ooh, I feel something moving in this room right now. One of the notable things that happened, I'm trying to give you a little taste of what you can have tonight. One of the notable things that happened in the Azusa Street Revival is people were healed. People that had cancer were healed. People that had tumors, it began to fall off as they entered into the prayer meeting. As they entered into the prayer meeting. But if you have a prayer meeting, only 10% of the church shows up. Why is that? Hunger. A pastor told me, he said, Brother Jones, the hardest thing for a pastor to do is get people to pray. But in this Azusa Street Revival, there would be a lady that was in this prayer meeting. Now, understand, they had been fasting. They had been praying for hours. And God would speak to this lady and say, get up and play the piano. God, I've never played the piano before. How can I get up and play something that I've never learned? A second time, it comes strong. Get up and play the piano. I've never played. I've never done chords before. I've never had a lesson. And the voice comes stronger the third time. Get up and play the piano. She says, okay, God. She gets up. And she begins to sit down. And as she's beginning to play, her fingers begin to form chords. Now, I know some of you are saying, oh, I don't believe that. You want to know why we say that? It's because we've never been in an atmosphere that she would get up and her fingers would begin to form chords and she began to play a beautiful melody because the atmosphere was so strong. But the atmosphere was saturated with prayer. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 13. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, the answer to shut up heavens is found in 2 Chronicles 7 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If we'll pray, God will answer our prayers. But listen, but it's so difficult for get us to pray. I got a question for you. I feel to get off my notes for just a moment. I'm going to tell you why God has allowed the things that have happened to this church and the first family. I'll tell you why God has allowed it to happen. How does God get the best out of us? I'm going to tell you how he gets the best out of you. How could God get the king out of the shepherd boy David? Think about it. He's already been anointed. So how do I get the potential out of the shepherd boy? I'll tell you how he does it. He raises a giant. And the way I get the most potential out of people is I allow an adversary to arise. And there's sometimes there are things that will bring us to our knees that nothing else will. Sometimes God allows an adversary to arise to bring. Let me tell you what takes us away from our knees, the blessings of the Lord. God warned him. He said, listen, you're going to be in houses that you didn't build. And he said, when you start entering into inheritance, beware lest ye forget. And I'm telling you, God is trying to get the best out of Experience Church. That's why he's allowed an adversary to arise. But Daniel 11 and verse 32, I want to see miracles. I want to see God do great things. But let me tell you what Daniel 11 and verse 32 say. They that know their God shall be strong and do. Hold up. We want the exploits, but we don't want to know them. I don't get the works of God without the relationship. We're too busy seeking his hand instead of seeking his face. But when I get his face, I get his hand. And we mess it up. I'm going to tell you what happened today, and I'm telling you something's all right. I could feel something breaking in my ministry. I don't know what's so special about this church, but I feel something breaking in me, a prophetic. It's been prophesied. I'm not trying to be selfish, but I want you to tell you, I've been prophesied about this prophetic ministry. I'm saying, God, where is it going to happen? And I feel like this weekend, God is helping me to enter into something. And then I got a text from a pastor. His dad was one of the greatest conviction preachers that Pentecost has ever. He sent me a text today. And he said, hey, I'm about to send you recordings that not many people have of Verbal Beam. And there I am in the hotel. I got the phone up as close as I can to my ear. And I'm listening to this man that prayed an average of 6 hours a day. Talk about the works of the Holy Ghost. But if you're going to have a ministry like Verbal Being had, you're going to have to pay the price that he paid. Another quote by Leonard Ravenhill would say this: office spaces and churches are becoming bigger. Our sanctuaries are becoming larger. But our prayer rooms have become smaller. When was the last time a prayer room had an expansion? It's because you don't have an appetite. My mom would tell me, she'd say, Junior, I'd always bring Skittles to the table. I'm a Skittle fanatic. Sorry, I got a little hungry. But I'd always bring Skittles to the table, and she'd make a statement. Junior, you know better. I'm Skittle. They're amazing. Sour Skittles. The ones in the purple pack, Skittles. They're great. I just love them. I said, Mom, a little bit of Skittles ain't going to hurt. And then she started making a statement. She said, you know, Junior, if you keep eating that junk food, it's going to affect your appetite. She made a statement, you know, you keep eating all that Skittles and you don't want your necessities. Oh, man, it's not that bad. It's just a little junk. It's not that bad. It's just a little bit of movies here. And I'm still going to church. Not that big a deal, you know. Just a little cursing in the movie. I mean, it's not that. I mean, I'm going to show up to church. I mean, I could ask God for forgiveness on Sunday. No. It's just a little sex scene here. I mean, my flesh likes it. This is my favorite sitcom. Never mind that it has homosexuality in it. Gotta have some more, please. Man, so good. Give us this day our daily bread. This isn't as appealing as all that junk. My flesh is not drawn to the bread as much as it is all this junk food. But could it be, hear me, church, Could it be that when it comes for the bread to be broken and given to us, that we have fed ourselves with so much junk that we have no appetite? Oh, I'll take what I want and leave what I want. But I'm going to watch Friends when I get home. You know, the show that everybody's sleeping with one another. And it's not that big of a deal, Pastor, because I'd never do it. But you'd watch it. I'm losing some of you right now. Yeah, I want a move of God, but you're not going to tell me what I can and can't watch. The Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said, let me tell you why those elders preached against things those years ago. It wasn't because everything was heaven or hell issues. He said, the reason why they preached against things were they were hunger issues. You eat all that garbage. You watch all that stuff. Some of you spent hours in front of a TV today. And you show up today, you have no room for bread. Because you're already full. Enemies of hunger is that we'll fill ourselves with junk. And when God wants to put things into us, we have no room. What does a natural man desire? The Bible says that we were born into sin. But let me tell you an alarming statistic. This isn't worldly people, this is Christians. They would ask and do a survey. He would ask Christians, what is the first thing that you pick up when you wake up? 54% admitted to checking their phones in the waking moments of their day. 73% say they check their phones before they pick up their Bible. We have a hunger issue. When's the last time you woke up and something in you, based off what you read the night before, said, before I touch my phone, I've got to get my daily bread first. The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. A carnal mindset hates services like this. I'm pushing up against the spirit. I can feel it right now. You ain't going to touch what I watch. Ain't nobody touching. But when you will defend carnality more than you will spirituality, something's off. We have become full of feeding our flesh. We have no room for the things of God. Can I tell you, what you feed is what will be stronger in your life today. If you feed yourself carnal things, your carnal man is going to be stronger than your spiritual man. Well, what does sin get us? The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But what would happen if we could feed our spiritual man tonight and say, God, there is something on the inside of me that hungers for a supernatural touch. Not just, listen, not just an emotional response to the preacher, but a response that says, God, that is what I want. Let me tell you that the average time that people pray a day is 18 minutes a day. But the average time on social media is 6 hours a day. We have an appetite problem. enemies of hunger is that we'll feed ourselves the things of the world rather than feeding ourselves the things of God. What are enemies of hunger, Brother Jones? Number one is media. I know. People don't like this because we're exposing things of the adversary. Listen, do you understand that I was placed on this earth not to make money? I was placed, and I'm thankful for the blessings of the Lord, but that's not my purpose. My purpose was to worship God and make heaven my home. That's my purpose. So when I understand what I was placed here for, anything that will affect my purpose of being on earth, I don't need it. First John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If I love football more than I love reading my Bible, yeah, I'm hitting some strongholds right now. If I love NFL more than I love a move of God, I've got to check my priorities. If I love the NBA more than I love coming into the presence of God, I need to check my I need to check my appetite. I need to check my hunger. Some people only have spiritual practices when they show up to church. And COVID revealed that people had a relationship with the building more than the God of the building. But my question is tonight, what are you pursuing after? Matthew 5:6 says this, blessed are they which do hunger, and thirst after, pursuing after righteousness. The word righteousness means to be right standing with God. I hunger to be right with God. And sometimes when you're right with God, there are some things that you don't do because God doesn't like it. I feel like I'm losing some of you right now. There are some things that are called personal convictions because God doesn't like it. I know. You're growing up in an age where everybody's saying, show me scripture and verse where I can't do that. It's not a heaven or hell issue, but it's a relationship issue. If I want more of God, I can't have more of God and more of the world. If you're going to get more of God, I must decrease so that he might increase. Come on, brother, come help me on the piano. I'm almost done. There was a famous saying, I'm almost done. Going without prayer for a week makes a person weak. Going without prayer for a week, W-E-E-K, makes a person weak, W-E-A-K. A weak spiritual man can't tell his flesh no. He doesn't fast. He doesn't pray. But a person who doesn't pray, P-R-A-Y, becomes pray, P-R-E. P-R-E-Y. We have to learn to discipline our flesh. I'm almost done. Another quote by Leonard Ravenhill written in a poem, and it's titled Revival's God's Way. Revival, God's Way. The poem would start off this way: where is the hope for revival? God's Holy Spirit outpoured, convicting of sin and judgment and righteousness of the Lord. When nothing else is important, only God's presence divine. When the Christians quit worldly pleasures, then God, his ear, will incline. Let me read that again. When the Christians quit worldly pleasures, then God, his ear, will incline. Desperate prayer for revival will cleanse the church by the word. Then clothes in spotless white linen, the bride clears the way for her Lord. Prayer is the key for revival. Prayer that is true spirit born. Nights of compassionate weeping. When's the last time you wept over your city? Intercession for all the forlorn. Then will the burdens be lifted. Then all the sinners will cry. Then all the chains will be loosened, and worldly passions will die. The lost ones will yield to the Spirit. When the Christians cleansed weep and pray, God's living water flows outward. This is revival. Hunger is the key. I'm going to tell you a couple stories and then we're going to be done. Okay? Everybody all right? Everybody got time for this? I was challenged years ago to do an all-night prayer meeting. And I tell you, it's one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. I get into it and I think about getting on YouTube. It's amazing. We start praying. All these carnal desires start. And I was 30 minutes in and I felt to go listen to preaching. I said, no, that ain't of God. I'm praying right now. Anything to get me off course of prayer. Anything. 30 minutes in, I'm in there praying and nothing's happening. I'm an hour in and nothing's happening. An hour and a half in, nothing's happening. I'm saying, God, I know I felt to do this all-night prayer meeting. I don't feel nothing. But I got to 2 hours, and then all of a sudden, I started speaking in tongues in a way like I never spoke before. And then all of a sudden, the time started, didn't matter. I'm telling you, there is a time frame, I believe, that when you lock yourself away, and God says, wow, you've been in here 2 hours and you won't leave? Wow, he must really want this. I'm telling you, I got to that 2 hour mark and started speaking in tongues. I started praying with authority. I started praying. And the only way I can describe it is a warring tongue. It was unbelievable. I got lost in prayer. I prayed till the next morning. And I'll never forget the feeling of when I got done praying. And when I got done praying, I said, this is what those elders felt. I literally had no desire to do anything else. I didn't want to get on my phone. I didn't want to get on social media. I didn't want to get on YouTube. I wanted to pray more. Because I was given an appetite of something supernatural. What could happen tonight that would propel us into tomorrow's services if God gave us a little taste of that world that is to come? It's worth everything that God tells me to let go of. See, some of you, the reason why you haven't gone places in ministry is because you're trying to do the bare minimum in order to get supernatural things. And I feel this. Right. I'm preaching to somebody's hunger tonight. That there's something on the inside of you that says, I want what that preacher preaching about. I want it. There are young couples that God has picked you. He's handpicked you to make a difference all over the nation. God has handpicked young couples that are going to do mission work. I'm confirming something to some people right now. God has picked you. What's going to take you to that next level of ministry is not knowing all the Greek and the Hebrew, which is needed, but having an appetite for a move of God. A pastor told me this in this last story, and we'll close. Told me a story of a family member that was dying. And he said, Brother Jones, one of the first signs they're about to die is they lose their hunger. So they're trying to stir a hunger in this lady that's about to die. And they're trying to figure out, how do I resuscitate an appetite into somebody that's about to die? How do I resuscitate a hunger in somebody that's losing their appetite? And that mama realized what she needed to do. She got in that kitchen and she put some bacon on, and she let the smell of a hot kitchen begin to stir an appetite in the person that was about to die. And it never failed that when she started cooking that bacon, that hunger. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I want what you're cooking in that oven. Let me tell you how you resuscitate a hunger in some people is you get into a place of prayer. And you start stirring some things up in prayer. And people that have become dead spiritually, something begins to stir on the inside. I smell revival. I sense revival. I sense a moving of your. But it takes people willing to stir something up in the spirit. It takes people willing to stir it up in prayer. I'm gonna tell on Sister Pastor right now. I was here the other day. I was in her office. And I heard this roar come from out of here. I'm talking about, it was so loud, I heard it over my AirPods. Noise cancellation on. I still heard it. I said, dear God. I thought there was multiple women. It was one lady. And there was a drawing from that office into this. And I was a little nosy. I ain't gonna lie to you. And I opened that door and all I heard was, ah! Ah! I hope we ain't lost that sound at Pentecost. Too worried about being pretty. Too worried about being cool. I don't want to mess up my nice suit. I hope we ain't lost that sound. Sound of intercession. And a lot of the things that we felt last night wasn't because a hot shot of angels came in. It's because a lady over there was stirring something up in the kitchen. Woo! I'm telling you, anything can happen in this service tonight. anything can happen. Anybody want to be a part of this tonight? Now listen, I mean this. I don't want you to say yes because everybody else is saying a yes. Because I know there's people that say yes and 5 minutes in they're done. No, I'm not looking for that tonight. I'm looking for people that say, I want a taste of that world that is to come. I want a little taste. Now, I want us all to stand. I'm done. Let's all stand. Thank you for staying with me. I do not apologize for taking my time. I don't apologize. But there are key people in the service tonight that God's going to use you to break something off of other people that's in this room tonight. Intercession is a selfless ministry. It's a selfless ministry. There's something special about you, sis. I told you last time I was here. Every time you sing, something shifts in the atmosphere. Sister Lauren, when you worship, something breaks. I feel like God gave me a word for you too. But sometimes we don't realize that just our humility to surrender to God in the presence of God. I've watched this has Sister Lauren's up here worshiping, you're worshiping, and I watched these girls dancing with a reckless abandon. I don't care if it messes up my curls. Who cares? That's what happens when we say, God, I want to taste something that's not natural. I want something supernatural. But we can create an atmosphere of prayer tonight that I believe the angelic will come down and heal people tonight. You believe that? I'm not going to beg anybody tonight. It's not what we're doing. Sorry. If you don't feel it, you don't want to do it. Sorry. But there are people that need the Holy Ghost in this building. There are people that need to be baptized in Jesus' name in this building. And I'm telling you, tonight is your night. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you've never been baptized, tonight is your night. Tonight. Brother Jones, I was baptized. Listen to me. I'm just going to do this real quick. I was baptized in the titles. Nobody in the Bible was baptized in the titles. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hold on. Brother Jones, I was baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, if you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, there is a name. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name. In Acts chapter 19, they were baptized under John's baptism, but had to be rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We've got water, and we'll baptize you in the name of Jesus tonight. Well, Brother Jones, does it really make that much of a difference? Yes, it does. Because there's only power in one name, and that's the name of Jesus. I feel God doing something right now. I feel it. I believe God's bringing revelation to somebody right now. I feel the scales falling off of somebody's eyes right now. I need to be baptized. I need to receive the Holy. I need it.